You are listening to Hillary Topper On Air, the small business podcast to help you grow both personally and professionally. And now, here's your host, Hillary Topper.
I'm Hillary Topper, and this is Hillary Topper On Air. Today, I have the great pleasure of speaking with Leah Jansen, an elite endurance athlete, certified life coach, motivational speaker, and owner of Leah Jansen Coaching. Welcome to the show, Leah.
Thank you, Hillary. Thank you so much for having me.
Could you tell our listeners a little bit about you and your background?
Okay, great. Great question. I'd love to. So first and foremost, I'm a mom of four. And I think that's my greatest accomplishment, obviously, as a mother of four. My youngest just turned 11 and my oldest is 19. So I have a whole range of, I have three teenagers now, which is crazy, which is so crazy. But yeah, I don't know where the time went, but here we are. So in a nutshell, as a kid, I grew up here on Long Island and I live in the hometown where I grew up. I went to the high school that I went to high school. I work at the high school I went to high school. And I love that I still live in this beautiful area and it's such a great place to grow up. As a kid, I was an athlete. I did every sport, volleyball, basketball, tennis, softball, you name it, I was involved, but I never did any of the triathlon sports that we're going to talk about. I never swam or ran or cycled or any of that, which is very ironic, but I even played lacrosse. I did all of it. So after having kids and not, you know, not competing, I loved competition, Hillary. I loved it. I wrote my college essay on competition. I'm obsessed with competition. So it was always something that was fun for me. And I grew up in a very competitive household. But as I went to college and outside of college after that, I didn't really do any kind of sports. I ran a little bit after I had some kids just to lose weight and just stay active. And it wasn't until I was 42 that I did my first marathon, which is, it's so wild to think about how much, you know, how much life I had before I discovered endurance sports. I never knew anything about it. I never ran track. I never ran cross country. And here I was just running and just loving it and loving the community of people. That's, I think, why I did the marathon, because I used to do CrossFit at a local gym and they were like, hey, you know, you should come do the 5K with us down the block. I said, oh, okay. I've never run a 5K. That sounds fun. I don't know. So I went and ran this 5K and I did really well. And there was a friend of mine there who was a local chiropractor in the area. And he was like, Leah, you should come run with us. I said, there's people that run? Hillary, I had no idea that people ran together. Like this, I really didn't know that there was this whole subculture of people that went running together. I said, oh, okay. When do you run? He goes, 5 a.m. I go, what? Like, you people are nuts. Like, oh, we're called the vampires and we run at 5 a.m. Well, lo and behold, there I was running with them at 5 a.m. at some point. And that's when I kind of got integrated into the community of amazing, beautiful humans that we have here on Long Island, runners, triathletes, all people. And they just showed me the ropes, you know, Hillary, they were like, oh, we're going to run here and we're going to do our long run here. You should come with us. I'm like, this is amazing. And they're like, you need to get a watch and you need to, I'm like, what's all this? It was just like this whole new world, honest to God, this whole new world that was opened up to me that I embraced wholeheartedly. And I always say it was like a social hour and a fitness hour all rolled into one, because I got to chit chat with friends and also, you know, learn the sport of running.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a quick, you know, snap.
Yeah. So I have a quote that you wrote and I want to read this and you'll tell me what you think of this.
Okay.
This is your quote.
Okay.
If you can combine visualization, action, and positivity, then there's really nothing that's off limits. But even as a longtime believer in this principle, I've subconsciously allowed self-limiting beliefs to creep into my psyche. Mm-hmm. Identifying those beliefs, figuring out why they were there, and then providing them to be untrue is one of the most immensely satisfying experiences of my life. Everyone has these limiting beliefs, and I want everyone whose life I touch to experience that same incredible feeling of overcoming them and realizing that what they're capable of, that they're capable of doing anything. Mm-hmm. So tell me, where'd that come from? Why did you put it out there?
Because I think people make so many assumptions, Hillary, about, for example, I told you before, I ran my first marathon when I was 42 years old, and I was fortunate enough to run a fast enough marathon that I qualified for the Boston Marathon on my first marathon, which was luck, and I was thrilled, but I automatically assumed that that was going to be my fastest marathon because I was the youngest. Right? So every marathon after that, I was going to get older and obviously slower, right? It was just this natural assumption. Well, I can't get any faster because I'm just getting older and I'm past my prime and all these things. And that was so unbelievably untrue. Mm-hmm. And I learned each year that I ran, each marathon got faster and faster and faster. And even though I was 47, 40, whatever it was, I got faster, but that blew my mind. And that opened me up to this feeling like, wait a minute, why are we assuming certain things to be true? And that's what that was my discovery, but other people have other assumptions that, you know, whatever they may be. I never swam, Hillary, in my life, never a lap in a pool. Okay. I grew up on an island. This is my favorite joke. I grew up on an island, but I didn't know how to swim. I mean, I knew how to swim to save my life. I could go out in the Sound or in the ocean and bob up and down, but I didn't know how to swim. So I just assumed, well, I don't know how to swim. I could never do a triathlon. Like, so that's not true. Like, it, you know, I had to learn, I can learn at 43 years old, how to swim. And then 2 years later, do an Ironman. Like that was, so I challenge everybody to examine these self-limiting beliefs and really look at what's going on there. Is this a matter of self-protection? You know, like, are you just trying to make, you know, excuses like, oh no, I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. And to really challenge ourselves to think beyond those self-limiting beliefs. Like, I'm just one example of how they were so untrue for me. And I was locked in on I'm like, well, that's that marathon. Oh, well, you know, it's too bad I didn't do it at 30. I would have been faster. No, not necessarily. So it's just interesting when you really flip things over and look at what's possible when you get your mindset in check and you practice the belief that you can improve and do better and the visualization. So I started doing all these intangibles, all these other things, rather than just running faster. I was eating better. I was sleeping more. I was believing in myself. I was visualizing what I could do. And all of those things in concert created a Kona qualification, which that would have never been possible. So I really believe what I said in that quote.
It's awesome. It's an awesome quote. So let's talk about your first Ironman race, which was only 2 years after you started the sport. Yeah. You did a full Ironman event, which is really impressive. What was it like, and how was it crossing the finish line?
I crossed the finish line like I won the race. I look at the pictures and it looks like I won. I was the pure joy that came over me, because that was a very, you know, you do triathlon, you understand it's a long day. Okay. And when I first did a sprint, my first sprint was Jamesport, which is out here on Long Island, a wonderful local race. And I remember doing that race and finishing and going, how on earth do people do a full Ironman? I was exhausted from a 5K run after a 20-mile bike, and I was absolutely spent. And I called a friend of mine. I said, how did you do it? How did you do an Ironman? I couldn't fathom it, Hillary. But, you know, just like anything else, you just do one day at a time. It was one day at a time. And I said, okay, that was 2016. In 2017, my first year in triathlon was 2016. I did a sprint and an Olympic, and that was a big deal. Whew, that was season one. Season two, I said, I'm going to sign up for a half Ironman. Let's see how that goes, right? Like, and I did the half Ironman in Lake Placid. And that was wonderful. I had a great day, a great experience. And at this point, I'm still new to swimming. Like I just said, I just started. And I was also new to biking. To me, the biking was so much harder than I thought it was going to be. It really was a lot to learn. And it wasn't just this, oh, get on a bike like you did when you were a kid. This was like serious cycling and a lot of endurance and fear. I had a ginormous fear of downhills. I still don't love it, but I've worked really hard at that. But so then it was like, okay, I did the half. And then all of a sudden it was like, do I do the full in 2018? I don't know. And so I said, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for it and just finish it. You know, so that finish line for me was really a culmination of overcoming a lot of fear on the bike and a tremendous fear of the swim, because it was just something that was not natural for me. And I had to work super hard to overcome and for it to become competitive. And when I did, Ironman Maryland was my first Ironman. I chose a flat bike course because I was still very nervous about, you know, downhills and hairpin turns and all that stuff. I was like, ooh. But it was a tough swim in Maryland. So I had to balance one with the other. I said, okay, I'll do a harder swim, but easier bike. And I just had a great day. And I remember, this is funny, I came in sixth place in my age group, which, you know, Danielle, our coach was like, oh, she was there. Oh my God, Leah, how did you, you know? And I was like, because the podium is top five and you just missed the podium. That's amazing. It's your first Ironman. So I got a little bit of a taste, you know, Hillary. I was like, ooh, this is, so I looked at my husband maybe a month or so later, because you never say you're going to do an Ironman right after the Ironman. It has to sort of settle through. And I looked at him and I said, I think I want to do another one next year. And it was a lot to ask with four kids at home and, you know, a lot going on, a full-time job and a side business and all the things. And he looked at me, Hillary, and I'll never forget it. And he said, does it make you happy? I said, it does. And he goes, then let's do it. Let's do it. I mean, I get goosebumps.
What a wonderful man.
I have the best husband on the planet. I'm going on record. And Danielle always says number one husband, because she's been to many races with him and he's amazing. He looked at me and said, if it makes you happy, we will make it work. Like we will make it work. And I said, oh my God. So that's when I signed up for Ironman Chattanooga in 2019, 1 year later in 2019. And that's when I qualified for Kona at Ironman Chattanooga.
Wow.
And like 3 years after I did my first triathlon.
That's so insane. That's
it was
just
insane. And it,
amazing.
It was an incredible day. And, you know, again, challenging that self-limiting belief of I'm not a swimmer. I'm not great on the bike. I'm getting old. I have four kids. Like, who am I to do this? I have a job. Like, you know, you really, that belief, I had to work on that every day, every single day.
Yeah, definitely hear you.
Oh yeah.
So before we move on, I just have to say, I'm so appreciative of our sponsors and want to take the time out to thank them. Please support our sponsors and tell them that you heard about them on Hillary Topper on Air. Special thanks to the Bogalis Law Group, LLC, a law firm representing plaintiffs in medical malpractice action, and the Russo Law Group, PC, Long Island's signature elder law special needs and estate planning law firm. Now back to you, Leah. So we're talking about your amazing journey. And what advice do you give some of your clients just starting out in the sport as a coach that you'd like to share here?
It's a great question, Hillary. And I love answering this because the first, everybody wants to compare themselves to everyone else. That's one of the biggest challenges. And with social media, it's so... It's easy to find yourself comparing because everyone's posting their runs and their times and how often they're running and they're biking and they're swimming. And I fell victim to it all the time. I'm not doing enough. I'm not fast enough. I'm not going enough. And it's very tempting to compare your journey with someone else's. And that's why I find my story to be so compelling, because I share it with people. Like I was, the first time I went swimming, I went to a swim clinic and I was put in lane one, Hillary. Okay. I'd never swam. Blowing bubbles in lane one. Okay, everybody, put your face in the water and blow bubbles. That's where I was in 2016. So if I looked at that and said, I'm never going to be able to do, you know, you have to be where you are, be where your feet are. You're here. I'm here. Hillary's here. everybody's on their own journey, and to fall in love with the process and not the outcome. It's not about the outcome. It's about the process. And if you fall in love with the process, with the training, with the people you're meeting, the outcome is going to take care of itself. You're going to get there. You're going to get prepared. You're going to be ready. And just to resist the urge to look around you and say, why not me? And she's doing this and he's doing that. And stay on your own mat. Right? Stay on your own mat.
So let's talk a little bit about your work-life balance. Okay. You said you have four kids. I mean, they're teenagers. They're still needy. They still need you. They're not out of the house yet.
No.
How do you juggle it all? Like you're doing these long bike rides. You're out there for like 4 or 5 hours.
6 hours.
Right. Exactly. Like how do you do it? Like how aren't you exhausted and can you really juggle this?
So two things. Number one, back to my amazing husband, who first and foremost gets a lot of credit for what I do, because not only is he patient and takes over and does his stuff with the kids, but he doesn't give me guilt about it. But the agreement is, Hillary, the minute I walk in that door, it's not, you get to take a nap and relax and take a shower. I am on duty. So that becomes, and again, when you're training for an Ironman or half Ironman, there's a window of time. There's a couple of months that are really, really, really busy. And those months happen to coincide typically for me with the summer when I am off. I am a high school guidance counselor by day. I have my summers off. So all of my races, Hillary, have been in September or October, because I can train the bulk of my training when my kids are not, I'm not at work, they're at camp during the day. So they all went to the same camp. I would drop them off at 9 o'clock. I would take my bike, go to Heckscher Park, do my bike ride and be done and come pick them up. So, you know, I'm able to, but honestly, and the other secret truth is I say no a lot. I don't do, you know, all my girlfriends know I'm in season, I'm busy. I'm not going out girls' night out. I'm not going to a lot of school fundraisers that would be social. I don't decorate. I don't shop. I don't entertain. Like I just don't do a lot of things that a lot of moms might be doing. I just, it's on hold, you know, Hillary, I have to make choices and I don't apologize for it. I don't feel like I need to be something I'm not, you know. My house is a disaster a lot of times. And I just don't apologize for it. Like these are my choices and I make them, and everybody in my house, my family all understand that, like, this is what mom does. And, you know, they don't know any different, honestly, because it's just been this way for many years. But there are some things I just make choices. I sacrifice some of the stuff that some people, my friends always say, they say, we love, you know, off season Leah, she's really fun. You know, wintertime, December, November, December. They're like, that's the best time to catch her. Cause you know, otherwise when I'm in season, I'm just not doing it. I'm going to bed early. You know, yeah. I have a bike ride. I got to get up at 4:30 and I'm gone for 6 hours. Yeah. So
a long time.
I think, yeah, it's a long time. So no more Ironmans for me this year. So that I won't have that this summer. Thank goodness. I'm so excited.
Well, tell the group about the scrappy athlete. What exactly is that? And
well, the scrappy athlete is my baby, really. What that came from was kind of me as a high school kid. The scrappy athlete is someone who does not necessarily have all the best gear and access to coaches and equipment, and maybe not the most talented kid on the team, but has heart and grit and is just never going to give up, is typically an underdog. You know, like I always say in my races, you won't see me coming until I'm past you. Like you won't even think about me. I'll come up from the back. Like, where'd she come from? Because I'm never going to give up. Like never going to give up. Like, so that scrappy person is someone who's willing to really put it all out there despite any shortcomings. You know, like if you see me run or swim, it's not pretty. Like it just doesn't look great, but I really get it done because there's so much resilience and tenacity behind the scrappy athlete. So it's for all those people out there, you know, late onset swimmers and late onset adult onset bikers and runners who just want to compete and just put their best out there despite their time or what it might look like. And they're just going to use other ways also, like being scrappy is being smart, you know, sleeping well and doing all the other things that a lot of people don't do to kind of give yourself a little bit of an edge, having a great mindset. A scrappy athlete has this great mindset where they're like, I know what I want to do and I have my goals and intentions clearly in focus, so that they're not just training their body, they're training their brain. And the two things together, you're gonna have an edge over your competition because you're really looking at the whole picture. So that's kind of what encompasses the scrappy athlete.
Very cool. All right. So lastly, we have to wrap this up. We could talk all day, but you know, we got to wrap this up. So tell us, Leah, how people can get in touch with you and learn more about your story and your coaching service. And
the best way to get in touch with me is either to visit my website, leahjanzen.com, LEAHJANTZEN.com, or my favorite social media outlet, which is Instagram, as we talked about. And I am at Leah Jansen on Instagram. But you can sign up for my newsletter. I send out Mindset Monday every week. It's my Scrappy Nation, as I call it. But on Instagram, you can follow me just for, you know, I'm going to share tips and what I'm doing. I'm training for a 50K right now that I'm doing in March. So that's been interesting and fun and, you know, just a new challenge. But I'm just out there just like other moms and dads, just getting it done to the best we can with what we've got, with whatever time we have. And, you know, just enjoying, again, my thing is enjoy the process, enjoy, love what you're doing, love the journey. That's what it's about. The race is just a medal in one day. It's one day out of all the others, right?
Absolutely. I know, 100% you know. Agree with you. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Leah, for being on the show. Really, it was great. This was really informative. And I love following you on Instagram. So you should give Leah a follow. She really has some cool stuff going on there. I'd also like to thank our sponsors once more. The Pagalis Law Group, a law firm representing plaintiffs in medical malpractice action. For more information on the Pagalis Law Group, go to pagalislawgroup.com. And the Russo Law Group, PC, Long Island's signature elder law, special needs, and estate planning law firm. For additional information, visit vjrussolaw.com. And last but not least, I want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. If you want more information on this show or any other show, visit our website at hillarytopper.com, or you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, even Amazon Alexa. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.